O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. True story. A man in Minnesota, my home state, was serving a rural community as a local pastor. And on this particular occasion, he had ridden in a hearse and then had officiated at a graveside service. After the interment was over, he realized he was exhausted. And so he asked the funeral director if he might not stretch out in the back. You're smart. Permission was granted. After driving several miles, the mortician pulls into a gas station, a full serve, and the attendant fills the tank. He does notice a body in the back, but tries to ignore it. Until, all of a sudden, the pastor sits up, and I don't know what possessed this cleric, but he knocks on the window. Reportedly, that attendant ran faster than anyone imagined possible. In fact, they wished they had a stopwatch. Bottom line, when people see life where they expect death, they run. That is scary business. The women at the tomb knew about scary business. For starters, they were in the graveyard at night. Did you notice that? Today's scripture passage says that it was before dawn. That means it could have been pitch black. Not a time most people choose to visit a cemetery. Add to the fact that these women went unaccompanied. Might they have been concerned about guilt by association? I think they should have been. They were not there to visit the grave of their grandmother. They were there because of their allegiance to a recently crucified criminal. That is really scary business. And add to that the fact that just as they arrived at the cemetery, what happened? An earthquake. An earthquake. Can you imagine a worse place to be than in a cemetery during an earthquake? And then, thrown into the midst of all of this, comes an angel. Not someone who resembles Tinkerbell, but we're talking Mr. T here. And he looks like lightning. Scary business? I think so. But what are the first words out of this angel's mouth? There is nothing to fear here. Excuse me? Did I miss something? Notice that it's not only the angel who tells them there's no need to fear. The risen Jesus himself, just a little later on, says the same thing. First, he greets the women by saying, "Hail." And then, right after that, the very first words out of his mouth are, "You're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened." In fact, when you think about it, telling people not to be afraid is the recurrent theme of Jesus' message. When people are wrapped around the axle about various facets of their lives, Jesus tells them not to worry. when Jesus is with the disciples and they are desperately afraid of drowning in a storm, he says to them, "Do not be afraid." When he's telling the disciples about what death will be like, listen to what he says. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Just at those times in their lives when people have every reason to be scared out of their wits, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." And why? Why was it so important to Jesus that we conquer our fear, particularly our fear of death? Because fear, as all of us know, can suck the very life out of us. It's crippling, it's debilitating, and it can be paralyzing. Someone said of fear, and I love this quote, "It never empties tomorrow of its trouble. What it does is to empty today of its strength." And so in that sense, fear goes totally counter to what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to give us life, that we might have it abundantly. But how do we let him do that? How can we let Jesus free us of fear? This morning, I offer two suggestions. First, it was the Danish theologian Søren Kierkegaard who said, "There are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is." Did you get that? I think half of you did. Let me repeat. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is. Easter challenges us to take Christ's words personally and to apply them as they pertain to us. Throughout these past several years, there has been a plethora of DVDs and books written about the fact that, yes, there really is life after death, just as Jesus said. I remember once hearing an account of Peter Panagore, who at one time was the preacher on First Radio Parish. He'd had a near-death experience as a result of an ice-climbing accident when he was declared technically dead. And he was in Alberta, Canada. Obviously, the experience never left him. He went through hell, he said, forgiveness, and ultimately unconditional love. A fascinating account. Yet what I found most fascinating is that it took him, Pastor Peter Panagore, 8 years before he had the courage to share his experience with anyone. Why? Because he was afraid that no one would believe him. A pastor, no less. The bottom line in his account is that there truly is no reason to be afraid, that each one of us is loved and cherished forever. Think about it. Is there any better antidote to fear than love? By the way, I might add, he did have a subsequent near-death experience related to a heart attack relatively recently. So he wrote another book, and this one is entitled "Heaven is Beautiful: How Dying Taught Me That Death is Just the Beginning." As a pastor, I have heard a significant number of personal accounts related to life on the edge. People generally start out saying something like, "You won't believe this," or, I know this is going to sound like I'm nuts, but the message this morning is to trust yourself. To trust yourself enough to believe what Christ has promised, and if applicable, to believe what you yourself have experienced. Pay attention to what the Irish call the thin places in your life. Those experiences that you're tempted to dismiss because they seem to transcend common sense. Those experiences that speak about something much more. Ponder them and let them become a part of you. 3 days after my father died, I heard his voice as clearly as if he were in the very room in which I was. It was a quasi-dream, but I still remember verbatim what he said to me. He said, first of all, don't worry about me, that he was fine, perfectly fine. And then he said, don't even try to imagine what death is like, because you can't. Just live life to the full. And then he added these words, and take good care of your mother. And that was that. Did I imagine that? I don't think so. Secondly, trust. Just trust. One of my favorite life quotes, which I hold fast to, is one that was written by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he said, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. That's what it's all about. And so when Jesus tells us not to be afraid, bottom line, what he's doing is asking us to trust. We conquer our fears not because we know, but because we know that we are known. Not because we understand, but because we know that we are understood. And also, furthermore, we know that we don't know the whole story, at least not while we're living it. All we know is that in the end, love is stronger than hate. Goodness is stronger than evil, and Christ is stronger than death. It takes trust to conquer fear. What else is there? What else do we have other than trust? I close with an actual incident from history. After the battle between the Duke of Wellington and Napoleon Bonaparte, people obviously were very anxious to learn the outcome. So the result of that battle was passed on from Winchester Cathedral to London by semaphone. So there it was up in the sky, and the message began. People were reading it from far down below. Wellington defeated. And the British were devastated. Utterly devastated. But, just then, the fog lifted, now exposing the complete message, which read, Wellington defeated the enemy. The message of Easter is, there is nothing to fear. For the truth of our faith is not Jesus defeated, but Jesus defeated death. Hallelujah. Amen. And now let us stand as we sing He Lives, hymn number 310 in the United Methodist Hymnal. Yeah. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever foes may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
You may be seated. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, as we come together this Easter morning, we welcome the risen Christ into all of our lives. We welcome the hope He brings to the world, particularly during these times of deep divisiveness and despair. With the churches in Sri Lanka, the Catholic masses that were disturbed this very morning, Easter morning, by those who bombed. We pray for the three African churches in our country. We pray for those people who are suffering the effects all the world of the fire in the Notre Dame Cathedral. And we pray, too, for all those in protest who resent and regret monies going to a building when there are Christ people who are suffering so. Oh God, now if ever we need to welcome the healing that comes from You, we welcome the healing for all those who are awash in sadness. And we welcome the divine light that still insistently shines, for that divine light that brings to all of us hope and life and courage and self-sacrifice and goodness. So today, on this Easter day especially, we do welcome the sight of the empty tomb, because we know what that means. We know it means that Jesus Christ is loose in our world. He is loose in our hearts. May it ever be so. Amen.